amazing grace. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear and praise my fears. Relieve, how precious did that grace appear. Thee how I first believed. Through many dangers, through many pain.
Yeah, that's it.
I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there, when we've been there, 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Yes! Praise God, 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 praise God.
Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. We've got a God that's real. Amen. He ain't Santa Claus. Our kids. Amen. Look what the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 15. Once you give it this all stand, verse number 26. And I pray that this word from the word will help you, will challenge you, and definitely encourage you in some life-changing way. Look what the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 15 and verse number 26. The Bible says, God's word says, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk this morning, this little thought. Our life for His name. Our life for His name. Father, help. H-E-L-P. I pray, God, for you to help us. Ask God that in the name of Jesus Christ, you reveal some truth to some hurting soul, some hurting heart, some confused mind, someone, God, that's blinded by sin, blinded by Satan, blinded by self, blinded by society, blinded by whatever means the enemy may have thrown into their thought process. But I pray, God, this morning, that the light of the Holy Ghost would shine into their life. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit of God will reveal the great truth, the truth above all truths, that Jesus Christ, He is the only way. He's the only answer to every situation or every problem that we face in this life. I pray, God, for that soul that might not be saved this morning, whether they're here in the building or whether they're watching right now on the live streaming or they'll watch later. But I pray, God, that this will be that day that they sign up on the winning side, the side that will not lose, the side that will live forever and ever and ever. That's Jesus' side. Hallelujah. I pray, God, they be born again, placed into the precious family of God. I pray, God, that you, I pray, God, you break down the barriers that might be hindering them from receiving the word. Break down that barrier that might be hindering them from being saved. Break down that barrier that perhaps has a stronghold over their life. I beg you in the name of Jesus that might make no one leave for today without being changed. Hallelujah. Changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. You said to ask. You said to seek. You said, God, to believe. And God, this morning, I claim the promises of your word. I claim the promises of your book. I claim the promises that lives from out of your word. God, help somebody this morning. And for that, God will thank you. And then God, there's anything else I'm leaving out. I know I am. I'm leaving something out. I know I am. But whatever it might be, yes, meet that need too. And we'll thank you. For us in your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. May we see you. The Bible says in verse 26, men that have hazarded my soul, have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a name that many don't want you to talk about. It's a name that the enemy tries to erase from your mind. And the devil will do whatever he can to block your mind from hearing about this name. When we come to worship, I have no doubt that many in this building, their minds won't be here. There's some right here right now. Their mind ain't here. They're somewhere else. They don't even want to be here. But I'm going to tell you something. We serve a God that's real. Amen. We serve a God that's genuine. Yes. We serve a God that can not only grab a hold of your heart, but a God that can change your heart. Amen. Not about y'all. But I didn't come to play this morning. I came to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If I came to play, I could have stayed at the house somewhere. If I came to play, I could be watching TV somewhere. But I came, my dear friends, to talk about somebody that can change your life. That can change your mindset. So, preacher, what's wrong? I'm telling you what's wrong. We're just going through the motions of life. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't coming to go through no motions. I'm serious. I didn't come to go through the emotions. I came to worship. Because there are people's lives that are at stake. There are people dying and going to hell without a living Savior. There are folks who are saved but are living miserable lives, confused lives, messed up lives. But I'm happy to report this morning that we've got the antidote. We've got the solution. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's not Santa Claus. He ain't the Easter Bunny. Hallelujah. He ain't something, my dear friends, that you read out of Disney. We're talking about somebody that controls the very breath, the very air that you and I breathe. But we walk around sometimes flipping like it's nothing. I tell you what, you have a panic attack. Who you gonna call on? You gonna call on Buddha? Charles Russell? Joseph Smith? Harry Krishna? You're gonna call on Jesus. You're going to call on the living God. But it's amazing how we won't call on him when it don't seem like air supply is going to be out. We're calling the job. We're calling everything else. And folks, this name Jesus is a life-transforming name. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to name the name of Jesus. You read his book. You read the book, and it didn't just start right now. It started, my dear friends, way back in Jesus' time. They tried to stamp out, to stop the name of Jesus Christ. But hallelujah. Brother Dennis, it's a name that we can stand on. It's a foundation that is sure. It's a foundation that's not rocky. It's a foundation that's not unstable. We might be unstable, but not God. God ain't walk around. What am I going to do? How am I going to help Brett and Stephanie? Oh, what we're going to do? Thank the God we serve. We don't have a God that's like this box. This box is empty. Ain't nothing in here. But I'm going to tell you what. I ain't going to pull that out because I got stuff in it. But hallelujah. But he's full, my dear. He got enough and more than enough for each and every one of us. Let me hit this and we'll be done. The first thing we want to see here is the situation. The situation. The Bible says in verse number 22, then pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard, here it is. This is why we write this letter. We have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you. They have stirred you. They have agitated you with work. You ever had that happen? Somebody agitate you with words? I mean, not with physical touch, but with words. Listen, they've agitated you, troubled you with words, subverting your souls. That word subverting there means to upset. It also means to pack up like baggage. In other words, there's some folks that have come to you believers, and they've added baggage, they've added a load on your shoulders that were not intended to be there. Does that sound familiar? We got brothers and sisters in Christ today that give us some baggage that will weigh us down and that hinders us from serving a living God. Now, we ain't talking about unbelievers. We're talking about those who are trying to add on. And throughout God's kingdom, so to speak, or throughout this world, so to speak, there are folks who are always trying to add on. But notice this. They only add on what they can live up to. If it's something, my friends, they have no problem with, need to add this. But if it's something, my friends, that they have a problem with, you don't really have to add that. It's like we on your Facebook, you know, you learn so much stuff. On Facebook, they had a big discussion about pastors and being divorced and all that kind of stuff. Can they be the bishop and can they be the deacon? And it's amazing to me. The focus is always on adultery or divorce. And every time I read them verses, they get more in there. Blameless. Not somebody that wants to fight. You don't hear that stuff. I mean, let me show you what I'm talking about. We'll be right back. We'll be done here in a little bit. I'm going to get y'all out of here early. Look what it says over in 2 Timothy, I believe it is. Look at 2 Timothy, I believe it is. 2 Timothy, and look down at verse number, let's see here. Look over to 2, make that 1 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true, trustworthy saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife. And we stop. Why are we stopping? Because it goes on to say, vigilant, that's sober, put down your liquor bottle. Good behavior, vigilant, sober, which means self-control, of good behavior, given to hospitality, that word there means fond of guests. That just wiped out a whole bunch of folks. Apt to teach, not given to wine, no stool. Striker. Now that word striker means quarrelsome. So preacher, don't say it. I'm sorry. I'm going to lose a whole bunch of friends. But I got a lot of Baptist preacher friends, pastors, they love to quarrel. It says not quarrelsome. So Brother Jim, should we call him up and say, brother, you can step down? Because you know you're quarrelsome. I've known folks to have physical fights. I ain't talking about the lay people. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about what the Bible says. Now watch this. So you start talking about what the Bible says, then you lose friends. Then we go on to say, not greed. Be a filthy lucre. But patient, which means gentle. Not a brawler. Not a brawler. Not a brawler. Somebody said, Bishop, you're stuck? Yeah, I was stuck. I'm sorry. Not covetous. For a man will not how to rule his own house, how shall he... Oh, I'm sorry. One that ruleth well of his own house, how to surely in subjection with all gravity. For a man will not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. But moreover, hold on, let me get my glass. Is that right? He must have a good report. That's a testimony, witness. Of them which are aware. That's on the outside. Lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. What are you talking about, preacher? There's a lot more stuff. But why don't we focus on all that? We focus on that which does not apply to us. A lot of folks have changed position when it applies to them. Why? I've been enlightened. I know you have. Because your wife left you. Now you've been enlightened. Now you say it's okay. What you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is this. We've got folks that lay baggage on us and put things on us to weigh us down, to hold us down, so you and I cannot be effective for the cause of Christ. That's the same thing that was happening here in this verse. The Bible says these apostles, we got to send these folks some men to help show them the right way. Look what he goes on to say. He says, for verse 24 of Acts 15, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, this is what they said, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. We ain't telling them that. And then the Bible said, so that's the situation. Now we see, my friends, the surrender. The Bible says in verse 25 that the men say, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, that verse is powerful. That word hazarded means surrender. It means deliver. It means to give into the hands. It also means to betray. Now, let's break it down. He says, we have chosen some guys here, which is Barnabas and Paul, as well as Barnabas and Silas. We've chosen these men because these men have hazarded their lives. They have surrendered their lives, their heart, their mind, their soul for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hazard to surrender their life, to deliver their life, to give into the hands their life, to betray their life. But what does it mean to betray? To go against. The flesh don't want to serve God. The flesh don't want to follow God. The flesh wants to follow flesh. But these men, the Bible says, betrayed their own flesh for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, there's something about this name. There's something about this name, this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch what he says. He says, men that have hazarded their lives for the name, the authority, the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. They gave themselves for this precious name. Do you understand? I'm going to say in a few moments. They don't want you to pray in Jesus' name. Just say God. Not Jesus' name. But what's you have to end your prayer in Jesus' name? We're gonna see in a few moments. Then you can no argument with me because I ain't nobody. You can argue with the Bible. But this name has tried. They've tried to stamp it out. They've tried to blow it out. They've tried to do whatever they could. They use all kinds of scare tactics against this thing. Run with me to Acts 5 and verse 40. Acts 5 and verse 40. So what you can do, please. When I can't wait to get to where I'm going. Yeah. Look what it goes on to say. Acts 5 and verse 40. The Bible says this. And to him, they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of who? Jesus. And let them go. They didn't want them to talk. That word speak means to talk. It also means to preach. They did not want them to talk or to preach in the name of Jesus. They could have said Jehovah, because these were the Jews. They believed in Jehovah God. They just didn't believe in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They said, now, you can speak, but don't speak in his name. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't bring his name up. We're afraid as we can be to bring up the name of Jesus on the job. Well, I don't want to offend nobody. You can talk about everything else in your job but Jesus. Why is that? Because that name has power. That name, we'll get to that in a few moments, has authority. It's your speaking his name. And what did they do? The Bible says, my dear friends, in verse 41, after they got beat up, you ever been beaten? And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Rejoicing, and they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Are you willing to suffer shame for the name of Jesus? We get around, holidays coming up. What you going to do? What you mean we're going to do? You're going to get around your family. What you going to do about Jesus? Come time to eat. What you going to do? Well, Are you ashamed? When we come to the family, we all do the Michael Jackson and go the other way. My dear friends, instead of doing the moonwalk, we should be naming the name of Jesus. They rejoice because they suffered shame for his name. Now watch this. Go with me to Acts 4, verse 18. Acts 4, verse 18. We will get to this type of thing. I got to lay this foundation. Look at Acts 4 and verse 18. I guess it's 18. Yeah, 18. I got a 12 on there. Hope it's 20. Look what it said here. And they called them and commanded them not to speak, not to proclaim at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to him, whoa, hold a second, baby. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you or to you more than God judging, you judge by it. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard. You can't shut us up. We are still going to talk about this name of Jesus. Preacher, what is it about this name? There's something about it. What is it about helping? I'm going to help you. We see the scare tactics the enemy uses to try to stop us from speaking in his name. And here is the strong motive, their strong motive for continuing to teach and to preach in his name. This is a very simple message. Number one, because there's salvation only in the name of Jesus. Look what the Bible says in Acts 4 and verse number 10. The Bible says this. Be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised raised from the dead. Even by him that this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Here it is, baby. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given unto men whereby you must be saved. That word must means necessary. Ain't no other way. Ain't no other way. Well, I'm going to call on them. But ain't but one name. And that's the name of Jesus. That's why, Sharon, they surrendered their life to Jesus' name. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell y'all something. That word name means authority. And it means character. It's by the authority of Jesus Christ that you and I can be birthed into the family of God. By his name, by his power, by his authority. So you call upon the name of Jesus. You're calling upon the authority of a living, breathing God. You're calling on Jesus' name, on his authority. Woo! Hallelujah. See, we ain't got no other choice. Because if folks going to get saved, it's going to be through his name. Not no other name. Y'all help me now, because y'all know my glasses is better now, but you know how it is. He said here in verse 12, whereby we must. Y'all went to school? What do must mean? Got to. He said here, whereby you must, you got to be saved. Let me give you something else on that same line. Look at Acts 2 and verse 38. Acts 2 and verse 38. We still ain't got to what I'm trying to get to. But look at Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of somebody else. In your name. No, in the name, the authority of Jesus Christ. For, because of the remission or forgiveness or pardon or freedom or liberty of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Folks, there's no other name given whereby you can be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. Well, that's what I want to get to. This is what I want to get to. Another reason was this. Because that name Jesus. Now, this is going to help somebody. Because that name Jesus brings supernatural deliverance. Supernatural deliverance. Now, go with me to Acts 3 and verse 10. Acts 3 and verse 10. There are some of us that are here this morning that need supernatural deliverance. Supernatural means not natural. I know this is deep. Supernatural means not natural. We need something that's a natural deliverance. But look what the Bible says. Over in Acts chapter number 3 and verse 10. The Bible says this. In Acts, what I tell y'all? 3:10. Well, that ain't right. Because it's 3:6. We'll read verse 1. Y'all like I put all that together? Look at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask all of them that entered into the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, they asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes with John, said, look on us! He, the Bible says, gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Ain't got no money. Can I get an amen on that? But look what he says. But such as I have, give I thee. What's that? In the name and the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Notice what he didn't say. In the name of Peter. In the name of John. In the name and the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There is supernatural deliverance in this name. The Bible says in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And the Bible says, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones, because you need that to help you too, received strength. Then the Bible, I like this, the Bible says, he leaping. We need to try that. He leaping up, stood, and walked. Entering with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Ooh, we have a fit. If somebody came in the door of the church, that God can heal them and rescue them from something, they come here walking and just leaping. And somebody said, preacher, we got that thing on drugs. I mean, something wrong with him. No, something's right. Something's happened supernaturally. Now watch this. The Bible says, and all the people, verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him. Their mind was blown. Here's a guy that couldn't walk. But supernaturally, he's now walking and leaping and praising God. Why? Because of the name of Jesus. What kind of healing do you need? The same Jesus who in the Bible, he's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forevermore. That same power that Jesus possessed in the book of Acts is the same power, the same strength that he has even today. But the problem is, we're not calling on the name of Jesus. The power of Jesus. My wife got sick yesterday. Actually started Friday. And she was hurt. And she left church and went home. And she said, I need you to pray. She sent me a little text. And she said, I need you to pray for me, capital letters. So I called her. I said, you okay? And she said, well, I'm in a lot of pain. I need you to pray. I said, okay. I said, I'll pray for you. She said, I need you to pray. Now. So we prayed. I got the phone. And I saw the Christian. It's on Facebook. My mom needs prayer. Y'all pray for my mother. People, I saw the name. I looked at some of the names. There's people from Georgia. There's people from Pennsylvania, from Indiana, from Illinois, and other places. They said they was praying. And I was in my office trying to study. And I said, God, you said that your name. That thing has been sticking in my head all week. The name of Jesus. The authority of Jesus. And I'm going to show y'all another verse too, because it's connected with prayer. And I pray. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want you to touch my wife. And God, I want you to heal her. Because I asked her, she want to go to the hospital? And she told me this morning afterwards that she was feeling worse than when she had to go to the hospital. But she didn't tell me that last night. She said, I just want you to pray. I said, Lord, you touch her body. So you touch her, you heal her. I said, Lord, you, and I'm going to look at this in a second. I said, but you said to pray, believing, if we ask anything in Jesus' name. And I said, no, I'm asking in Jesus' name. It ain't got nothing to do about me. Because you said in your word, we're going to look at it in a few moments, that you want us to ask in his name, that it may glorify not us, but glorify him. I said, Lord, in your name. In your name. This morning, I said, how are you feeling? She said, well, I got home last night. She was in the bed, laying in the bed last night. I said, how are you feeling? So right now, I'm not feeling nothing. And I feel okay because, you know, I'm laying. I'm not feeling anything. Then this morning, she said, I feel good. Yeah. Now, just so y'all know, I ain't crazy. What you mean by you ain't crazy? There's folks sitting in this room right now who don't believe a word I just said. They don't. What does this happen? It's just, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's why you're where you're at. And I'm not being ugly. I'm not being mean. I'm not being unkind. I'm really not. But that's why you're where you're at. That's why we're not having victories in our life. That's why we're not having deliverance. It makes no sense, my dear friends, for anybody to come into the house of God, to be on drugs, to be addicted to any type of thing, whether it be pornography or you name whatever it is. There's no reason for that person to come into the house of God and to leave out of these doors in the same state that they were in. There's none. For a preacher, they got to believe. Not necessarily. What are you talking about? Y'all, you know I got the Bible. Look with me. Now we talk about supernatural deliverance. Now I want to talk to you about the stipulation to answer prayer. Look at John 14 and verse 13. John 14 and look at verse number 13. John 14 and verse number 13. Look what the Bible says right here. John 14 and verse 13. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. The Bible says in John 14 and verse number 13, the Bible says that Jesus says to Philip and the other apostles, he says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in what? My name and my authority, that I might do. I will do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in what? My name. I will what? Do it, he says. So, preacher, I've been asking for that the Lexus, and I ain't got it yet. I've always wanted a Lexus. Or Escalade. Well, I want to show the goodness of God. What you doing with your Pinto? It's out there, it's raggedy. You ever wash it? I'm going to wash that Escalade, though, I'm telling you. Why don't you start washing the Pinto? Why don't you vacuum the Pinto out? Put some air freshener in there. So now you know what a Pinto is. You ain't had those aboard today. We all want this stuff. Oh, God, give me a bigger house. I ain't got one yet. You clean the one up you got? Need a bigger TV. Getting that dust off of what you got? Now, remember that word name means authority, and what else, Brett? And character. It has to line up with Jesus Christ's character as well. He ain't no bad person. So you ask him for something bad, he don't give that to you. That's not line up with God's character. He says, you ask anything in his name, his authority, that goes along with his character, and I'll do it. I'll do it. So, preacher, I've been asking for him to take care of this thing. Let me show you something else. Look at John 15. And verse 16. Look what the Bible says. Forget what I'm saying. Look what the Bible says. Verse 16, chapter 15, verse of John. The Bible says in verse 16, you have not chosen me, you've not selected me, but I've chosen you, come to the disciples, and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. I mean, tell you more something. That whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, what? Then I give it to you. Now watch this. Matthew 21 and verse 22. Somebody said, preacher, don't do it. Matthew 21 and verse 22. Ooh, verse 21. And Jesus answered and said to them, verily, this is trustworthy, I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Here it is. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in what? Prayer. What's the other word? Believe me. What does it say next? You shall receive. Now, let's just be straight up honest. We, self-included, have asked for many a thing, not believe it. We've asked it, we've gone through the motions of asking it, but we're not believed. And the Bible says, He said it. He said, you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So if I ask it and I ain't received it, then what's wrong? Something apparently is wrong. Now we know it said over in James. James says, but you have not because you ask not. And then he says what? You ask it what? You don't have it because you ask amiss. Folks, we ask, we got to make sure we ask it right. Not evil and badly. Not going against God's character. But in His authority that lies up with His character in Jesus' name. Now, y'all can pray any way y'all want to pray. But this is why I choose to believe, so Sandy. The Bible says if I ask anything in His name, He'll do it. So when I pray, you know how I hear my prayer? In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you ain't got to say His name, then don't. I got you. I got you! You know what I do sometimes? I'm going to start praying this way again, Sharon Earl. I'm going to start praying for certain individuals that the Holy Ghost start tracking them down. I ain't pray like that in a while. I'm serious. I used to pray all the time. Track them down. When they grab that ball of alcohol, when they grab that beer, when they start choking, choke them. Preacher. Yeah, choke them. Yeah. I said, preacher, you crazy? I ain't crazy. Yeah. Choke them. Yeah. Yeah. They be try to snort that cocaine and try to smoke that pipe. Lord, let their heart rate increase 100 times. Don't kill them. Just let it increase. They think they're going to die. I've been there. And my heart was like this. One time, Michael was like this. Oh, God, please don't let me die. He said, you got my attention. Oh, you got a God that knows how to do that for him. I'm serious. But sometimes, I love him so much. I don't want that to happen. Listen, that's why she is running wild, because nobody will take up their belt with their behind. Amen. But you start praying, God, you grab a hold of that belt, and you start whipping that butt, amen, and get their attention, hallelujah. But the preacher said, but I know. I'm talking about a real, genuine God. Well, I don't know if he's... he's real. Amen. Tell you what, try him. Well, I say, God, if you're real, then I want you to flip that car over. No, he's going to flip you over. I'm serious, guys. This ain't no joke. This is real. Even we believe in this book or we don't. The Bible says... And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, that word means putting confidence in, he said, ye shall receive. I'm expecting before December closes out, for God to do some changes in some folks' life and heart. I'm serious. Whether it's salvation, whether it's a good old-fashioned whipping from daddy, God, I'm talking about, or whether it's deliverance from something, or whether it's victory or something they've been struggling with, I'm going to start praying that way, and I'm going to believe God. So how do your faith increase? The Bible says in Romans, it says that, what does it say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. I'm going to be like this. Gobbling it up. Because I ain't scared of that book. Yes, you are. Scared of that Bible. Makes you nervous. I ain't scared of it. Yes, you are. You scared of it. I'm going to tell you what book you ain't scared of. You ain't scared of no Quran. No Book of Mormon. You ain't got nothing to it. You don't. I tell you, when you think I'm lying, you grab your Bible and you go to work. Just sit it there. Everybody be like, man, oh, I'm sorry, baby. Why you got the pillow box?
Yeah.
But you said a Quran right there. Ain't nobody going to move a bit. I said, who's that, a Quran? I ain't never seen one of them. But you bring out that Holy Ghost Bible, and something's going to happen. I'm serious. Y'all know it's the truth. And if y'all don't believe that, just keep on believing. Don't believe in that. Because baby, I'm coming. I'm coming in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Come on, run. Look at Patty. Patty, get back up now. I ain't been saved for a few weeks. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? These men gave their lives for this name Jesus. They didn't give their lives for nothing. Because you got to realize, these are men that saw Jesus, walked with Jesus, dealt with others who knew about Jesus. Right there. But hey, we give our lives that name. It's powerful. It's powerful. It's life transforming. It'll shake something up. I got three questions. We're done. First question is this. Have you, my soul, surrendered your life to His name? Have you surrendered your life to His name? Yeah, I did a while ago, but it ain't take. If it ain't take, you need to get it took. Amen. Have you surrendered your life to His name? The Bible says we become a what? New creature. If you're the same old person you were, you ain't saved. Preacher, you judging me? No, I'm not. Because the Bible says you're a new creature. And if you're by your own testimony that you're the same person that you were before when you made a profession of faith, then you are not saved. Okay? So let's get saved. Secondly, do you pray believing His name? Believing His authority. It ain't your authority. All the folks walk around, I got this power. You ain't got no power. It's God's power. It's Jesus' power. And then thirdly, do you want to give your life to Him? Do you want to give your life to Him? If you want to give your life to Him, He waiting. He said, I will not cast you out. I won't push you away. But instead, He will embrace you and He will help you and He will bring deliverance into your life. Folks, there's power in praying to Jesus. There's power. Let me rephrase that. There's power to praying to the Father in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I said, well, it's just praying. We need to do more than that. That's the greatest thing you can do, is to pray. Father, thank you. Give me one for blessing. I've tried my best to share the word of God that you laid upon my heart to give out to these precious souls that have gathered here this morning, those who are watching, Lord, on live streaming. And I just pray and ask God, but you have taken the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, and if nothing else, yeah, thank you, Lord, challenge somebody. Challenge somebody. Challenge their heart. Challenge their intellect. And let them see the reality of a living, breathing God. Father, I pray for those who are lost, that they have not seen their lostness yet. I pray, God, that you begin to reveal to them the sinful condition that they are in. And that without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. Without Jesus Christ, there is no life afterwards, but only death, separation. I pray, God, that once they see that, yes, ooh, yeah. I pray, God, they run to you and receive your Son as their Savior. Then I pray, God, for those who are already saved. But God, they have been, they want things to change. They want things to happen. But I pray, God, that you increase their faith and their confidence in Jesus' name. Not theirs, but in Jesus' name. And for that, God, we'll thank you. I pray, God, for those who just need a simple encouraging word from the Master. I pray, God, you'd help somebody. And for that, God, we'll thank you. Lord, somebody needs you today. And only you can help them. And then, God, those of you to come pray, talk to me for a few moments. I pray they come running and receive from you the help that only you can give. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Jesus, amen. Let's all stand.